Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's having a good afternoon. I have to put this down a little bit. First off, I'd like to thank my collaborators, Paolo Pagliari, Zhang Qiho, Darren Harmel, Andy Cole, and Ming-Chu Zong. And we're going to be talking about a long-term study where we applied poultry manure to watershed-scale plots over a 10-year period and looking at the specific forms of phosphorus in these soils. Just a little background, I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but livestock production and confined animal feeding operations, concentrated animal feeding operations, leads to accumulation of excessive manure near the housing. And this manure is bulky and it's expensive to transport it to croplands or other areas where it's needed. So manure is often repeatedly applied to the same land year after year after year, and this increases both total and soluble phosphorus in the soil, and it may influence phosphorus cycling and availability. There's also been a lot of concern over phytate loading of soils and issues with accumulated legacy phosphorus. And legacy phosphorus is a pretty new term, but what it means is phosphorus that's stable, is not usually plant available, but there's a potential that this could be remobilized or recycled over the course of years, decades to centuries. And all of this creates an environmental risk of eutrophication if it happens to run off or leach into groundwaters. This is a general overview of the phosphorus cycle. And I don't know how that works. Oh, thank you. So we've got input coming in from plant residues, inorganic fertilizer, livestock manure. And what I wanted to point out here was that there's many different forms of phosphorus in soil. Usually what's plant available is this soluble inorganic phosphorus, but we also have some more stable forms that are associated with aluminum or iron oxides. We also have organic forms of phosphorus that are coming from microbial biomass, organic matter, and things of that nature. And these are all in equilibrium, and there's constant transformation between these forms. And I also want to point out my 13-year-old daughter did this for me. So I'm very proud of that. There's been a lot of work done on soil test phosphorus, inorganic phosphorus, and total phosphorus, but not so much on organic phosphorus. The content in soils can vary a lot. There have been reports of 3 to 90% of total phosphorus is organic. It's usually about 10 to 40%. The key forms that we're seeing are inositol phosphates or phytate, phospholipids, nucleic acid, and about 50% of the organic phosphorus in soils is unidentified. Now, all these organic forms of phosphorus, in order to be plant available, they need to be broken down by phosphohydrolases, which can be produced by either plants or soil microbes. And these organic phosphates can also be associated to aluminum, iron, calcium in the same manner as inorganic phosphorus, so they can be pretty stable. The general project overview, this work was conducted at the Riesel Watersheds. They were established in the 1930s by the USDA in order to evaluate land management effects. In 2001, they started applying poultry litter, and it was either turkey or broiler litter, and it has been applied annually since then. These plots range in management. We have native tall grass prairie, improved pasture, various crops in rotation, as well as a grazing cow-calf herd. And this is the general area we're talking about. It's in northeast Texas. So our cultivated plots, they range in size from 4 to 8.4 hectares. So they're big. They have 4-year corn, wheat, fallow rotation. And they received poultry litter from 0 up to 13.4 megagrams per hectare per year. And this is a wet weight as applied basis, which means they got anywhere from 15 to 254 kilograms per hectare of phosphorus. We also had four pasture fields. We had native rangeland. The plant composition of that is big blue stem, little blue stem, switchgrass, and Indian grass, and improved pasture that was either grazed or hayed. The improved pasture was Bermuda grass or a Klein grass, and it received litter at 0 to 13.4 megagrams per hectare. So the soil itself is it's a Houston black soil, which is the state soil of Texas. It encompasses about 12.6 million acres, and it's used widely for production of corn, cotton, sorghum. I knew it started with S. And it's got a high clay content, about 55% clay. It's very expansive with a lot of shrink swell potential. High calcium carbonate content, 17%, and a pH of about 7.8. So what we did is we had these plots, and we collected soil samples from 2002 to 2012. These samples were sequentially extracted with water, sodium bicarbonate, sodium hydroxide, and hydrochloric acid. And then what we did with that, we determined total extractable P by ICP and inorganic phosphorus by a molybdenum blue method, and organic P was calculated as the difference of the two. We then incubated these extracts with acid phosphomonoesterases as well as nuclease P1 in order to identify the forms of organic phosphorus. And I do need to point out these are just functional definitions. We don't know exactly what they are. So we called them monoester-like, phytate-like, and DNA-like, as well as the proportion of organic phosphorus that was non-hydrolyzable. The objective was to evaluate the effects of long-term poultry litter application on soil total P, inorganic P, and organic P in watershed-scale cultivated and pasture lands on a calcareous high clay soil under typical management practices. So this is just an overview of the sequential fractionation procedure that we used. So we take soil and extract it with water, sodium bicarbonate, and these two are considered to be the labile phosphorus, or what's plant available, and it's generally either soluble phosphorus or loosely sorbed under crystalline surfaces. We then extract the residue with sodium hydroxide, and that proportion of phosphorus is assumed to be associated with aluminum and iron oxides. Following that, it's extracted with hydrochloric acid. And this fraction is the more stable fraction, and that's what's associated with calcium and magnesium. And so this is what we're concerned about with these high calcium, high clay soils. This is just the selected properties of the litter. This is a 10-year average, 2.4% dry matter total P. And so all of these manures were applied using real-world practices, so the rate was met according to truck speed, gear, and gate settings. So we tried to get this as farmer-oriented as we could. So this is what we saw when we had total extractable phosphorus. So this is all the water, bicarbonate, sodium hydroxide, everything. And we've got cultivated plots and pasture plots. And this is control as well as 6.7 megagrams per hectare litter and 13.4 megagrams per hectare litter. And it's pretty clear that you got some really big increases in your total phosphorus with all that manure. And this is going from 2002 to 2012, so every year that we sample. 68% about the total extractable phosphorus was in this, is assumed to be calcium associated. So there was a big increase and calcium-associated phosphorus in both cultivated and the rangeland, or not the rangeland, the pasture. And it occurred over time. So this is just our soil test phosphorus. It's your Malic 3. And so we've got control and the different rates of litter application in cultivated and pasture soils. And the blue bars right there, that's 2000 when the study started before anybody had received any litter, and 2012 when the study was ending. And you can see that with the high rate of litter application, we had an average annual change of 13.2 milligrams per kilogram of just soil test phosphorus. And the East Texas phosphorus threshold, where you're not supposed to be adding any more litter, is 200 milligrams per kilogram. So the label phosphorus, the water extractable sodium bicarbonate extractable phosphorus, we have cultivated and pasture soils, different rates of litter application. Overall, there was not very much water extractable phosphorus. These numbers were pretty low, and most of that was inorganic phosphorus, which is in the blue. And the colored ones, the orange right there, is your non-hydrolyzable organic phosphorus, the stuff we couldn't get at with our enzymes. And the purple, which you see a little bit of, are your phosphomonoesters. But in terms of other forms of phosphorus, DNA-like or phytate-like, we really didn't see too much of that, and it didn't really change significantly when we added the litter. The more stable phosphorus, this was interesting. The sodium hydroxide extractable or aluminum iron associated phosphorus was primarily composed of inorganic phosphorus, but there were a lot of organic forms in there, primarily monoesters, but we did see some DNA-like and some phytate as well. But this calcium associated fraction, almost all of the phosphorus in that fraction was not hydrolyzable with the enzymes that we were using. And that doesn't mean it's not hydrolyzable by any phosphatases, but the ones we were using couldn't get at it. So we had a huge increase in this particular fraction. And notice the axis on these two are quite different. So this was very high. So these are the changes in the phosphorus distribution in the cultivated fields with 6.7 megagrams and 13.4 and labile and calcium associated. And what we saw is that application of litter increased most of these labile forms, as well as a huge increase. I think that was 217% increase and this non-hydrolyzable organic calcium-associated phosphorus. And we also saw the same general trend with the pasture. It wasn't to the same extent, but there was a big increase in that calcium-associated organic phosphorus there as well. And there was a little bit of phytate accumulation too. And I'm comparing these to the grazed pasture right now. I don't know what's up with the phytate in the rangeland. So, in conclusion, the long-term litter application to this calcareous soil increased the labile inorganic phosphorus concentrations by 9 to 34% in cultivated fields and 77 to 30% in pasture fields. The litter increased labile organic phosphorus, and this was more pronounced in cultivated fields than in pasture. The labile organic phosphorus was primarily monoester, followed by nucleic acids, phytate, and small amounts of non-hydrolyzable organic phosphorus. About 68% of the total extractable phosphorus was calcium associated, and most of this organic phosphorus that was calcium associated was not hydrolyzable, and this fraction increased 217%. With litter at 13.4 megagrams per hectare. And this work has just recently been accepted for publication in SSSAJ. It's available online at First Look if anybody's interested. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
Do you characterize the fall?
We have done that in the past. I can refer you to some literature on that. Right off the top of my head, I cannot remember. You assume that there's a lot of phytate in the poultry litter, given that they don't have phytase enzymes in their gastric systems. But I don't have that information right now, and we did not characterize the litter. Absolutely. Yes, and some of this could have been directly derived from the poultry litter, you know, because they're feeding these chickens supplemental calcium for egg production and things of that nature. So, yes, there is a lot of calcium in the litter itself. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Would you expect to see a big difference if you analyze your sample for 5-8 using hand chromatography as opposed to using the method that you use?
There's been several studies that have looked at this. I believe Latham et al. Did a study, and they didn't see any phytate accumulation either. And, you know, phytate has 6 free phosphate groups, and it tends to be very sticky. And so you would think that it would be accumulating in there, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be readily metabolized or else converted into these less hydrolyzable forms while it's in the soil. Did that answer your question? Yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
And the second question that I have.
Yes, sir.
The labor pee, if you were to analyze, because the sodium hydroxide can actually give you, let's say, bioavailable labor pee.
Yes.
If you were to compare those two, which one you say would be more accurate to what you and where intend to extract? Would it be the sodium hydroxide as bioavailable labor pee, or as you label it as labor pee? Would you use sodium bicarbonate?
We used water and sodium bicarbonate. Some people use resin as well, and these are all considered labile peas, so they're moderately available. The water, of course, is directly available, but I'm not sure I followed your question.
Because the sodium hydroxide is often labeled as bioavailable peas.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's it. Strongly bound.
My question is, labor is comparable to bioavailable?
Yes. That's true. And it's comparable to soil test phosphorus as well, like Maylake or Olson.
Any other quick questions? I have to say this. One aspect of your presentation is a little bit disturbing to
What's
me.
What's that?
I was at Riesel or at Temple when they started these, and now that you're calling them long term, it's a little bit disconcerting, but I enjoyed it.
But you know, there's been very few studies that have gone on this long, and so it's interesting, and also that, you know, that they're big plots, not little research plots, and so it's a significant thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.